Good morning. Day number three here. It feels like I've been here for 2 weeks already. Hope everyone's enjoying Ignite. Thank you very much for attending this session. We've got a really good set of content we're going to go through today. There's a spread of mobile sessions at Ignite. This particular one, just to set expectations, is very much focused on what you can do as a mobile developer with the cloud. I've brought on stage with me Todd Baginski and Dan Waters from Xamarin, who are going to demonstrate some things that I thought were really compelling that they didn't have the opportunity to show in other sessions, and kind of we've bundled this session up, so I hope you get some value out of this. Before we go into the demos, which is going to be the majority of this session, so I hope you guys are happy with that, I wanted to kind of position a little bit about where we're going with Azure and some resources that you can use to kind of get started with mobile development. I'm Jeremy Thake. I work in Microsoft in Redmond. I'm actually the product manager for both the Azure Apps Service and Azure Functions. So Azure Apps Service has mobile apps, which is part of the mobile backend kind of story that we have with Azure, which integrates really, really well with Xamarin, which Todd's going to show off today. And Todd is an independent consultant who has been working with me a lot on building kind of these big, all-encompassing demos of Azure plus Xamarin plus all the tooling. And then Dan has been working very closely with Xamarin on the Xamarin Test Cloud and a bunch of other bits and pieces as well. So I'll let them probably do the intros when they stand up. So we're going to go a little bit over the Azure application platform as it stands. We'll talk about some of the architectures that we're seeing people build with Azure. And then we're going to go into a demo to show those architectures actually being run in there. And then Dan will go over some of the stuff that you can do with mobile DevOps solutions, which is a really, really good demo. So it is a big change. Mobile represents the single largest technology innovation of all time in terms of how things have changed. And it keeps surprising me over and over again. If you think about things like how Pokemon Go has kind of changed the way that we think about annoying people on subway stations and wandering around with their phones in their faces. And I suspect there'll be another one of those in the next 6 months. And so understanding how to build a mobile client, how you connect that back to the cloud and kind of build your apps and go to market very, very quickly is really, really important. It's 10 times faster than the PC boom. So this is where people are working. I'm pretty sure most of you are sitting there checking your emails on your phones or checking when the next session is or checking your flight statuses and the hot, humid weather outside. And so there's lots of things people rely on with their mobile applications. And we're finding now with the enterprise that a lot of customers are looking to build on the mobile device before they even go and build a web application now because their employees are comfortable with using a mobile phone over just sitting there on their desktop PC. And also it's more accessible as well. Now with Azure, we have over 60 services that are running in the cloud that can be leveraged as part of a mobile app solution. And what we got feedback from is, look, you know, we know we've got all these products, but we don't understand how all these products interconnect and how we can take advantage of kind of more than one of your services at once. And so there's been a big exercise which we started to launch in WPC timeframes at mid-year, where we've started to look at what our customers have been doing with mobile applications and understanding which services they're using in Azure and putting in these reference architectures that kind of start to illustrate exactly what's being used and how they're plugging into those things in the mobile applications. And with the demo that Todd's going to show, we start to highlight some of the things that we can light up to really take advantage of what you can do with Azure in the cloud. Now, there are other solutions there. If you go to azure.com solutions, you'll see that, for instance, yesterday I did a session on digital marketing. There's another session on Thursday on how you can run e-commerce with Azure solutions as well. So I'd highly recommend if you're kind of building anything inside your organization to take a look at those solutions because it will give you a good idea about what services that can be kind of bolted together to provide a solution for your customers. Now, in terms of mobile, what we actually see from a developer perspective is that you really want to build it once and not have to worry about this notion of whether it goes to an iPhone, an Android device, or a Windows phone, or other platforms as well. And you know, you've heard this story a lot with Microsoft, especially since the acquisition of Xamarin, where we're really trying to make it easy for you guys to write the code once and allow your end users to kind of tackle and use your mobile apps no matter what platform they're on. Now, in addition to that, we want to make sure that it's really easy to ship those apps extremely fast. And I'm hoping with the demonstrations that Dan and Todd both do, you'll start to see how easy it is to get started with building a mobile application. But also, the amount of legwork you have to do is very minimal to try and ship these things directly to devices, but also to test those things as they're going through. And so there's some of the qualities that we're seeing that mobile developers are actually looking for. And then the other aspect, which we're not going to touch on in much detail today, but is the notion of mobile engagement. So there's a product that we have in market called Mobile Engagement, which actually allows you to start tracking the usage of our mobile applications and how they navigate through the application and actually make decisions based on maybe they're kind of using a certain part of the app and they're not using other parts, and you want to reach out to them with push notifications and let them know that, you know, did you realize that there's this whole other feature of this mobile app that you're not using, and tracking those things through just monitoring inside the cloud. And that's something that we're seeing a lot of customers doing now, where they're trying to get more engagement out of users. So as soon as they go in and access the app, rather than kind of just seeing the same kind of activity of a particular feature, they want to use mobile engagement to kind of reach through. So that's a really, really key part of it. And then the other aspect is we know that Azure makes you faster as a mobile app developer. We know that we can spin things up for you inside that portal, which is Todd's going to talk about today, and essentially allows you to kind of light things up in your apps extremely quick, such as authentication, offline sync, which Todd will cover in the session, and so forth in terms of those feature sets. Now, the way we're going to tackle this is, I know that there's a lot of mobile client development sessions. Out of interest, did any of you go to the pre-day workshop on Xamarin client development? Okay, a few of you. So a lot of that content is actually online in the Xamarin University. If you have an MSDN subscription, there's a lot of benefits you get of accessing all those training content as well as all the content that's available on Channel 9. James Montemagno, who's an evangelist from Xamarin, has a new Xamarin show that's available on Channel 9, where he's going into a lot of detail on Xamarin Client. It was too hard to cover all three of these segments in one 45-minute session. So what we've done is we've kind of really focused more on the Azure connection services aspect and the DevOps aspect today in this session. Now, just to cover off on the Xamarin approach very, very quickly, it is one set of code. It's .NET, it's XAML, you're inside Visual Studio. Todd right now has a Windows machine up here with a Mac connected to it, where he's compiling all of the iOS code and deploying it onto a device. It allows you to get up to speed very, very quickly if you're already an existing .NET developer. And if you're familiar with Visual Studio, the learning curve is very short, something I did a few years ago. And it's certainly a lot easier than kind of building natively for Android and building natively for iOS and then building natively for Windows Phone. There are a bunch of Xamarin sessions this week. I'd highly recommend you checking out in the catalog. If you've missed some of the ones that were earlier in the week, they will be available on demand later in the week. They're not quite there yet. But they will be available and published soon, and you'll see them in the MyIgnite tool. Now, from a connection perspective, when we look at Azure applications, we're really talking about being really easy and adaptable to kind of get on board. So we have this notion that we don't really care what walk of life you've come from. Now, we'll always have the best experience on the stuff that we know. So Visual Studio, .NET, kind of that's going to be where our bread and butter is in terms of making it very, very easy for developers to get up to speed. But if you're a Java developer, a PHP developer, a Node developer, you also have a very easy walkway into using and consuming these services. And there's a lot of information online on certain hubs, so azure.com/node and azure.com/PHP will give you a particular guided tour of how Azure can work for you as that walk of life developer, not necessarily our primary one, which is going to be with Visual Studio and .NET. We work very closely with our large customers to make sure that what we provide scales to a maximum amount. So when you're building these services, you don't have to worry about how these things are going to work at scale, consuming all the services, whether it's storing data in SQL, or whether it's accessing push notifications, whether it's firing and triggering functions, which Todd will show later. We work closely to make sure that that's going to be handled for you without any kind of issues at all. Now, one of the big questions that we get from an Azure perspective is how we work in terms of whether I should be running these things in VMs or whether I should be using things as services. Now, IaaS has been around for a long time, and it's really where both AWS and Azure started in terms of spinning up virtual machines. But there's lots of benefits in terms of using what we call PaaS, a platform as a service. We have a lot of PaaS offerings on Azure right now. Azure App Service is purpose-built to make it very, very easy as you as a mobile developer to kind of light up features within your mobile apps. So for instance, push notifications, which is a very, very common feature of most mobile apps, you could go and code all that yourself, but we give you an SDK and a few configuration toggles to switch on and off, and it enables those things extremely easily into an existing mobile application or when you're building a new one from scratch. Things like authentication into apps as well is essentially just a toggle box inside of the Azure Blade portal, and then a few lines of code in your mobile application, and you're immediately logged into Azure Active Directory or Microsoft account, Facebook or Google. So those kinds of toggles are very, very useful, and that's what you start to see in our PaaS feature set. A lot of enterprise customers may decide to do IaaS because they're migrating existing applications over, but with mobile developers, we see that they're seeing the benefits of PaaS very, very quickly. And so we're streamlining that workflow and allowing you guys to get started a lot quicker. There is a great white paper, if you're not convinced, I just wanted to kind of promote this particular slide, where we talk about the benefits of Azure PaaS. We went and researched with a bunch of different customers what they thought of PaaS, how much the cost savings were. So if you're working with your CIO, CTO, IT manager to try and convince them that Azure is the right place to go from a PaaS perspective, just go to azure.com, click on the resources and click on white papers, and there's a TCO, a total economic impact white paper there that goes into a lot of detail about the value of PaaS in Azure over IaaS and some of the cost savings that some of our customers have had since they started integrating these things in. I know sometimes these things are useful to kind of convince your boss that this is the way to go, and so we've gone to the scale of that. Now, from an application platform perspective, we started in the IaaS world as well. We had virtual machines. We focus on networking and storage. But we've started to focus on these PaaS services, which target particular scenarios that we know customers have. Now, today, we're going to focus on Azure App Service and Azure Functions. But there is also Service Fabric, which is really about building high-scale microservices within Azure. There have been a bunch of Service Fabric sessions today. I'd highly encourage you to check those out. And there's some Azure App Service sessions which go even deeper into web applications that I would recommend checking out on the session list as well. Now, Azure App Service has a variety of different apps that you can use. Today, we're really going to focus on mobile apps, which is really where you get some of the key features when you're thinking about things as a PaaS service inside of Azure. But we also have things like Logic Apps, which allows you to build long-running business processes that connect and bind into multiple different systems that you might have in your enterprise. There's been some great Logic App sessions this week. If you're thinking about building workflows inside your organization, I'd highly recommend checking out Logic Apps as well. Now, from a mobile backend, there's really some key things that we want to be able to achieve as an Azure developer. These are really building blocks, and we provide SDKs for most languages that you're going to build in your mobile applications. And it really does streamline how things work because we integrate directly into the developer tools, whether it is Visual Studio, Eclipse, Android Studio, etc. And the key thing here is that we scale for you, but you only pay for what you use. So you don't have cold kits sitting there running in the cloud that maybe you're paying for but not actually using. And so when you kind of pay for this, you're really consuming and paying as you go, and therefore your cost effectiveness is a lot better than running virtual machines to do a lot of this stuff. Now, from a mobile app perspective, I've already mentioned the offline sync features. These is really, really easy to do on the existing database. We allow you to connect into external data systems that are either in the cloud as well or actually on premises, which is really, really cool through the SDK. And as I mentioned before, we have this authentication and push notifications through the SDKs where they're just toggle switches on and off inside those Azure Blades. And you'll see that as we go through some of these samples. Azure Functions is currently in preview. And part of the demo that Todd's going to do in a moment will kind of go into more detail about this. There is an Azure Functions sessions right after this in Hall B, I believe, which is going to go into more detail generically about what Azure Functions are. But in the use case we're going to show today, it's really highlighting how compelling Azure Functions can be to write simple snippets of code to handle the mobile backend that you have within your mobile apps, rather than having these kind of more traditional monolithic applications. Again, I think the demos will speak for themselves when you see them on inside of Azure Functions. Now, this goes to our solutions aspect, is that we're really seeing how people are leveraging Azure within their mobile applications. Azure App Service for us is kind of our hub of how you would be doing mobile development. But the key from this slide, as you can see, is that we're also using SQL Database to store the data that's available in there. We're leveraging the offline sync capabilities of a mobile app so that if my mobile app's offline, or maybe when there's 23,000 people in a conference center and you can't get on the Wi-Fi, your application will still function, and then once it connects online, it will actually sync back with the database that's living in the cloud. All those things are done very, very simply for an SDK. Another thing you'll see on here, and you probably heard in a few other talks, but it's really critical, and Todd's going to show a great demo of this, is application insights. I cannot live without this for troubleshooting. It allows me to monitor my application in real time and query with correlation IDs exactly a flow that a user took for a mobile application and see the functions trigger and see the logic apps trigger and see it connecting back to the database, or in my case on Monday evening, not connecting back to the database and seeing an exception. Ways that you'd never be able to do before, even with like kind of having to pull logs down off a mobile device and then pull logs from each individual service. So application insights is really critical. We see that as a huge value prop inside of Azure that allows you as a developer to get insights into debugging you've never been able to do before. Now there are a few other solutions, and if you go to azure.com/solutions and click on the mobile one, you'll actually get to see all these different particular solution architectures. Over time, we're actually going to provide the ability for you to click and deploy these reference architectures into your own Azure tenant. The demo that Todd's going to show today will be available on GitHub shortly, and you'll be able to see all of the code that's been built to do this demonstration. I find with our customers that it's often useful to have an end-to-end demo that you can kind of grab and pull to pieces and understand what we've done from a best practices perspective, leveraging all the moving parts in here. This particular solution architecture is kind of highlighting the fact that with a VNet enabled inside of Azure App Service, we can actually connect back to on-premises products as well. So we can go and reach into a SQL Server database. It doesn't have to be in the cloud. And that's one of the advantages we have with Azure App Service. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand over to Todd right now. And Todd is going to show you how we can actually do this whole thing inside of Windows with Visual Studio and also with Xamarin as well on a Mac. So I'm just going to flick over to his Windows machine.
Thanks, Jeremy. Good morning, everybody. My name is Todd Baginski. I'm Microsoft MVP and partner and CTO at my company, Canvas Consulting, where we deliver liberating business solutions for our customers. And today, as Jeremy mentioned, I'm going to walk you through this mobile demo that highlights on almost every single thing you saw on the slide first. So we want this one, number 6 here. So we're going to start out, and our scenario is that we have built a mobile app for Contoso Insurance Company. So does anybody have a mobile app for their car insurance company that you've ever used to report an accident? One person has, if more than one have, unfortunately had an accident, but yeah, so the idea was to tackle that business scenario. So I've already logged into the application here, and it knows who I am, and it is connecting through Azure Mobile Services, and is connecting to a SQL database with that offline sync enabled. It's also pulling the images you see here from Azure Blob Storage containers. So it knows the vehicles that I have insured with Contoso Insurance. And unfortunately, I just got in a wreck in my sedan, let's say. So I'm gonna select the vehicle that I just got in an accident with. And you can see the little spinner here. It's spinning and moving me on to the next step as it starts to actually wire up everything to allow me to process a claim. So we said, we'd like to also show some other pieces that you can use with Azure Functions and the services Azure gives you. So what we're going to use is Azure Cognitive Services to actually OCR all the images that I'm about to upload. It's going to pull all the information off those images, and it's going to put it in an on-premises database when it saves the data. So the first thing we do is we instruct our customers to take a picture of the license plate of the vehicle that they just got in an accident with. So here's our fake image for that. And the next thing is take a picture of the insurance card of the other party, of the person who ran into you. So you can see typical looking car insurance card right here. We've got that filled out with a bunch of good demo data there. And then the next thing is, well, where's the driver's license for that person who just ran into you? So here's our driver's license. So I didn't take pictures here because I don't have this loaded on the device in the interest of, you know, speeding up the demo. I just put in some pre-baked images to move this forward and show you the concept. So the next thing he asked for is, well, what the phone number for that party that ran into me wasn't on there anywhere. So let's put in a phone number for that person who we got in an accident with. So ones, eights, and nines is what I typed in there. You'll see that pop up a little bit down the road. And then finally, can you give me some documentation here on what really looked like, what happened in this accident? So we can take a couple pictures here and pretend we're documenting the carnage of the accident. So we've got several pictures we now have taken of our accident. And I think it's kind of funny because in this stock photo we took here, if you look in the background, it's the same exact vehicle in perfect shape back there. I thought that was just a little ironic in that sample image. But nonetheless, we'll move forward here and then say what happened. Has that happened to anybody yet? It happened to my friend. A lady ran into him who was looking straight at her phone while he saw her run into him. Okay, so now you've got all the information you need, and I'm gonna hit the button. And right here, what we're doing is making a call out to Azure Mobile Services. We are updating the information back in the on-premises database. We are putting the information into a queue. Actually, we're just putting it into a queue, all this information, and we're uploading those images to blob storage in Azure. At that point, this is when the Azure functions enter the picture. And the Azure functions, it goes on that microservices-based architecture, they're going to do discrete things to process this claim, OCR these images, and move it to the point where the claims adjuster can now work with it in their mobile app. So we're going to bounce over now to our claim search here. And this is like the application that, you know, the claims adjusters that process these claims use at Contoso Insurance. So I'm going to go down here, and this is the one that I just submitted, number 11. You'll notice it's auto-rejected, and sometimes they're auto-approved. We even put some logic in here to simulate how you can use an Azure function to look at the data and make a decision and say, am I going to approve this automatically or am I going to reject it? In our case, if it's the first time this user has submitted a claim, we auto-approve it. If they've submitted more than one, then we auto-reject it. So as you can see, I've submitted several claims here with Ron Gable. This is not the first one, therefore it was auto-rejected. I now click on that and I dive into the detail. And so here you can see this is the text I just typed in and the images I uploaded. You can also see here that we have a GPS location. I have my simulator set up right now to do that location, so that's why it was there, but we have tested this on the mobile phones. And it's just one more thing you can be aware of is that you can take the GPS coordinates from your phone and submit them up into Azure and then store them and make a map to display that information. So this is pretty much the details here of the accident itself. And then this is where we OCR'd all that data inside of our Azure functions using Azure Cognitive Services. So what we did is we put the images side by side with some of the values that came out of them. So if you look at the VIN number here, you can see it matches up with that one there. And the policy ID got pulled out here as well. We OCR'd the license plate, and we also OCR'd the driver's license number. Oh, we have our label wrong, but that's the driver's license number right here. So all that information, including all this information up here about the person who ran into us, that automatically got OCR'd and right into the system there. So at this point then, I can go through and I can take a look at really what happened underneath the hood, and I can use application insights to do that. This is another one of those pieces that we get with Azure that Jeremy talked about it. All along the entire trip of everything that happened under the hood, we've logged to application insights and categorized the data so we know everything that happened, how long it took to happen. And if we get an exception, we can see exactly where that happened and get the full stack trace and all the exception details to diagnose that problem. So we'll see here, 1037, that was a web app status. Sometimes they take a little while to show up and get processed in App Insights. But I'm ready for that because I've got one that I submitted just right before we started the session today. Another way you can work with Application Insights is you can go against the Analytics API. And here I wrote a query into the App Insights API of the correlation ID that we create. We create a correlation ID, which is simply a GUID, and we create it every time the mobile claim is submitted. And once it's inside Azure and we start processing it, the first thing we do is make a correlation ID, and we pass that along the way, the whole way with the claim to track what's happening. So as you can see here, these are all the steps and all the pieces of Azure we flowed through. We received the claim from the mobile app, we put it in a queue, an Azure function was triggered on the queue. We went and got some data from the mobile claims database where that the mobile app submitted it. We did the OCR on the three images, got that complete. Then we put data back into our on-premises CRM's claim database, put stuff in a new queue again, triggered an auto approval. The claim was rejected. We sent an email as part of a Logic app that looked at that Azure function and the result it had, if it was auto-approved or not, and it sent an email to the customer to let them know about that. In this case, we actually send the email when it's auto-rejected to the claims adjuster, who's the person who logs into the mobile app. So they get an email, hey, you got one to process, you click on the link in it, and it lands you right on the detail in the mobile app. So as you can see, front to back, to process an entire claim, what I've done so far, let's come back here and see if it's refreshed in App Insights yet. There we go, 1037, Azure function status. So that's the claim auto approver. This is my new correlation ID. I can copy this guy out, head over to App Insights and put it inside here. And now I can see every single thing that has happened to this point in time to that claim. So from the point that we submitted it to the mobile app, that was at 3642, to the point where it landed in the web app and all that OCR and emails and all those decisions were made, we went from 3642 to 3653, 11 seconds to do all that work. This is running on the base plan of Azure. And so you can imagine if you had high volume and you needed to scale up and run on higher plans, you could get this stuff really, really quick, even quicker than 11 seconds to process the whole claim. So the last piece of this demo is now this person has evaluated this information and they're going to approve it or deny it. So they're going to go in here and say, this looks like a pretty severe accident, and now I'm going to approve this claim. And once they do that, the claim will be approved. So now it is approved. And if we come back to the email here, there we go. We just got the email sent to the customer. Your claim was submitted, was recently manually approved, and that was claim number 11. If we come back over here, we can see that this is claim 11. So everything really under the hood, bunch of Azure functions here. Now I'm going to dive in and show you a little bit about the code and what they look like in there.
How am I doing on time?
Two more? Good, perfect. As Jeremy mentioned, all this code will be available very shortly on GitHub for you. And we've wrapped the deployment in an ARM template. If you're not familiar with an ARM template, it's basically a way that it deploys everything to Azure for you. All you have to do is click on the button, go to a page, fill out the values to configure it. There's about 8 values to punch in to it. Hit a button, 8 minutes later, everything in Azure is stood up. Then you spend about 10 minutes configuring the authentication because that cannot be automated right now. And you will have this exact same sample up and running in your own environment. This is a little tour of the mobile app. This was written in Xamarin Forms. So here you can see it's simply one project. We have an Android version of this coming as well, but right now it's just iOS. So this is your mobile app project where you can look through everything we do here and how we interact with the Azure Services Mobile SDK. And then the more interesting one here, well, maybe not more interesting, but more involved one, is the web app.
So here we have our API. This is the REST API project that we interact with from the web app and the mobile app. We have our common, which is helper classes we use throughout all the projects. And then we have our different Azure functions. So you can see we have one that auto-approves claims, one that handles the manual claim. That's when I click the button in the web app to manually approve it. One that handles the mobile claim as soon as it comes in. And then after the mobile claim handles it, new claim actually fires. So this is a great place for you to see how you actually write code like this inside of an Azure function. And you can see it's very simple, very well factored, very good formatted code. All follows the best practices of everything you need to do. So it's a really good kind of real world scenario and code sample. We also have the logic apps at the bottom here for auto and manual approval. And then finally, we have the web app that you saw there too. So every single thing is in here. We have a lot of documentation in the README, a whole bunch of diagrams that tell you where all these pieces fit in and what they're named and they're described, and a real nice flow diagram to show it all to you. So that's a really good example there. You can see of how you can integrate a mobile app with Azure services. Thanks.
And what we're looking to do there with that demo is actually build a Microsoft Virtual Academy course where we'll actually get taught after residence, and we'll build out that demo and see how we're leveraging the code base with Azure Functions and apps and services. So now I'm going to hand over to Dan, who's going to talk a little bit more about how you would put this into production, how you would test it inside of a Xamarin Test Cloud.
Cool, thank you very much, Jeremy. Dan Waters, I've been with the Xamarin team for about 2.5 years, and I wake up and I eat mobile DevOps for breakfast. I hope all of you do too. If you don't, this is gonna encourage you that you can. Now, I'm a little bit behind on time. Has anybody ever been in a situation where you gotta get a release out like pronto and fix a bug or deliver a new feature or something like that? I'm sure all of us have felt that, maybe got a bug in production that's costing you money. We need to move faster. We need to move faster on mobile, ship better apps faster, right? That's what we're moving towards. So I have this issue here. This is my Visual Studio team services, my Scrum board here. And it's a really simple little task. Update the font size on the welcome page. But let's assume it's a more pressing issue, something that's costing us money. So we've got our Visual Studio here. I have my welcome page. And really the point of this is just to show you a basic commit, right? So if I come back to my team here and I look at my changes, I have one change, welcomepage.xaml. I just changed the font size, update font size, and then we can commit and sync, right? Now, as a developer, the two tools that I use probably the most are, you know, my task board and Visual Studio, right? Does anybody else use that as kind of their primary dev mechanism? Okay, good, like TFS, VSTS, and then Visual Studio itself. So this is a very well integrated type of a world. I don't want to have to use 15 different tools to figure out what I'm going to use for each component of this DevOps lifecycle. So all I did was push code, right? That's kind of the key thing here. All I did was just push my change. What you're going to see now is Azure, VSTS, Xamarin Test Cloud, and Hockey App all coming together to get that deployment out. So let's come back into VSTS. And again, just to get a better look at this, you know, we have a bunch of tasks in progress, a few things that have been completed. Many, many Dan Waters is working on this project, and that's fine. But let's look at the build. So the build tab shows us all of our different build configurations, and I have one here for iOS, which points to an iOS local build host, which means I have a Mac plugged in, you know, at my desk at home, and we're delegating that build to that local build agent, which is pretty great. But for the Android build, you'll see it's actually in progress already. So right here where it says in progress, you know, that was kicked off by continuous integration, VSTS picking up that change in the Git repository and then launching the build. Let's take a quick look at this build configuration for Android, since that's the one that we're running today. Now, I look at the build configuration, I'm, you know, pretty happy with it because we have a success rate of 100%. The build is running right now. How does it work? So we have one queued and running off the master branch. I'm committing directly to master because it's just me. Of course, you'd probably want to do pull requests or, you know, the standard Git workflow. But what you're seeing right now is the build taking place in Azure. This is a Xamarin Android build, And one of the hardest things I think about mobile DevOps is just not really knowing where to start. I think most folks that are starting off on mobile apps are just considering, how do we build the app? Right? Nobody's really thinking about testing in those early stages, but really, you should be. So this build is occurring right now. While that build is running, I'm going to show you some previous runs that have happened in Xamarin Test Cloud, just in the interest of time. So what you see here is what we call a test series. So the test series is like a lane of a build. You know, you've got your device set, you've got the test categories you want to run, and all of these things together can help you create a set of tests that have a historical type of a significance. So you can see what's been happening throughout the dev cycle. So you can see we had just a couple of quick smoke tests here. We added a new test and it failed, and then in the next build we fixed it. So at a high level, you've got this very nice curve of increasing coverage as you move along. We still have some lingering issues, but the point is we are increasing our test coverage and we're actually getting value out of it. How do we get value out of it? Well, this is the iOS build that I want to show you. And this is what we call the summary page in Xamarin Test Cloud. Now, we had one test that failed called Crash the App on Purpose. But 90 of 90 devices failed just on that one test result, on that one test. By the way, we did test on 90 different iOS devices. So Xamarin Test Cloud is physical phones. If you send us an IPA, we will re-sign it, preserve all your entitlements and all that stuff, and then deploy it to our physical devices. So we don't use simulators. We give you real-world performance and a real-world understanding of how your app performs on these devices. Interestingly as well, across these 90 devices, we tested 17 different versions of iOS, 17 different point releases, which is incredible. That's a massive amount of scale. And these five scenarios with 90 devices only took 20 minutes. That's clock on the wall time, right? That's insanely good. So the scenario that I'm trying to present to you guys is, you're a developer, you're working, you work for about 3 hours or whatever it is on a task, you push your code to fulfill that task, you get up, you know, you go to the water cooler or something like that, you come back, and you know exactly what your change did across all these devices. Right, no more like waiting on manual testing cycles or anything like that. And so the build that we actually pushed is an Android build. So that goes into the smoke test series. And that'll show up here in just a minute once VSTS kicks it off. But I can show you the one that I did last night. So this is the smoke test. And it's only 10 devices, right? It's a much smaller device set. We want this thing to come back in like 15 or 20 minutes, right? We don't want to be waiting around forever on our CI build. But what we can do is chain on a more thorough test after that. But for your day-to-day commits, you want to try and keep it as quick as possible so that you're not slowing people down. It's that trade-off, right? Do we want full kind of quality assessment, or do we just want to move quickly? For smoke tests, I think this makes a lot of sense. So actually looking at this, we've got 10 devices here. You can zoom in, you can view them in different ways. You can even filter the devices if you have a large test run like the last one I showed you and you only want to look at certain versions or certain OEMs. In the case of Android, you can do that. Filter it down to individual devices. And as you, I can actually come into one of these individual devices here. And this is just a little fake sample application that doesn't do very much. But the point is, we're capturing a lot of information about what's happening, right? You can take a screenshot at any point during the test. And this enables you to ensure that when you're actually looking at these things, that they're all at the same stage as you move through. So if I zoom in a little bit here, and you just use the arrow keys, right, to browse through these different scenarios on the left and different test steps, you can see text being entered. And these screenshots are very helpful. But sometimes you need a little bit more information. So on Android, we actually offer you video playback. So if you're trying to figure out what exactly happened during a test run, maybe an animation, a user's complaining about an animation, or you're not really sure what went into a text field or something like that, you can just play back this recording, and that gives you really good insight into what happened with the app. A couple of other things here, we show you, we capture memory usage, CPU data, that type of thing. There are several other features in Test Cloud that are extremely useful. You make all kinds of different assertions with it, but it mainly works just like a manual tester was using the app. That's kind of the main approach there. So let's come back into VSTS and see how this build is doing. So you'll see the status of this right now. It says running on 10 devices. Those are the 10 devices that we chose. And all of this information is just being piped right back into VSTS. So you'll be able to see that. At the end of this, once that test passes, we know that our smoke tests passed. Generally speaking, you'd probably want to do a more thorough test before you do a hockey app deployment or something like that. But in this case, we just say, the smoke test is good. Let's just push it out. So at the end of this build, what's going to happen is, the test should pass. If it doesn't pass, we won't do a deployment. If it does pass, we're going to invoke hockey app and then send out this brand new build to all of our beta users. So what that means is, a few minutes ago, I committed code. And then 15 minutes later, it's in the hands of my users already. It's in the hands of my beta users, anyway. And that's pretty incredible. That's something that we can do on mobile, thanks to all of these different components that we have, from Xamarin Test Cloud to Visual Studio Team Services to Hockey App. All of these things working together provides a really nice, synergistic, easy development platform for anybody building mobile apps, cross-platform mobile apps at that. The last thing that I want to kind of highlight here is that all of these components work as well individually as they do together. So if you only want Xamarin Test Cloud, you can do that. You can integrate it with Jenkins, Team City, any CI platform. If you want to use Visual Studio Team Services, that's a great platform, in and of its own, but it doesn't require all these other pieces to work. So you kind of have the option to choose what piece makes the most sense for you and then put it together. But I highly recommend, investigating this solution as a whole, because it's just easy and nice and very well integrated. While this is still testing, the last thing that I want to point out is actually how we did this build configuration. Has anybody ever tried to set up a build configuration in Jenkins or Team City before? Okay, quite a few people. It's not easy, per se, because one of your first questions is like, how do I build, an iOS app from the command line or something? Or how do I build an Android app from the command line? We abstract all that stuff away from you. So when we look at the build definition itself, we've got a few different steps. And this is going to make a lot of sense, right? We restore the NuGet packages, because we don't commit the binaries into our repo. Restore the NuGet packages. Then we do the Android build. And we have a lot of these build steps in VSTS that are just easy, like point and click. You don't need to go figure out what the commands are to do all this from the command line. You just choose the build step that you need. At the end of this, we'll have an APK file that we can send to Test Cloud. This step is building our UI test project, which is a C# project based off of NUnit. So that gives us some test binaries. And then those are the two pieces that we need to send up to Xamarin Test Cloud. There's a few different properties here that you can send to Test Cloud. You can send a DSIM if it's iOS, so that we can symbolicate your stack traces in the cloud. Very, very useful, especially since they're on physical devices. You can set your device sets as build variables. So that gives you a great opportunity to create different types of tests and build configurations. And finally, there's a property down here called parallelization. So I want to explain briefly what that is, because it can make you move very, very quickly. So with parallelization, remember that Xamarin Test Cloud has something like 2,300 physical devices. And many of them are copies of each other. So we have lots of concurrency. We have lots of availability for our customers. But what that means is, we have some devices that we have 50 copies of, 60. And if you really want to move quickly, you can use parallelization to run, say you have 10 scenarios and you choose one device to run it on. Ordinarily, it would run, scenario 1 through 10 in series. But with parallelization turned on, what we do instead is we just get 10 identical copies of that device and assign one scenario to each of them and then start them all at the same time, which is awesome. We did this for Xamarin Forms. The test suite used to take about 2.5 hours to execute, and it brought it down to under 30 minutes once we turned on parallelization. So leveraging the scale of the cloud, of this device cloud, can really help you move a lot quicker. And it also frees up your manual testers to focus on the important things, right? Nobody wants to test the same login screen 1,500 times. That just gets onerous and boring. So automate away all of those tedious things and leverage the cloud to be able to do this. So hopefully, if I come back into my smoke test here, this test is still running a little bit. We're a little bit over time, but this thing ought to complete here in just a second. And I can actually show you the last build that we did, pretty consistently actually, the time that this build takes from start to finish is 14.2 minutes. So really not bad. By the time you're back from the water cooler, you've got all these great results for you. And then you can decide, do I pick up the next task? Did it fail? Do I need to fix the bug? and it really improves the agility on your team. So I'm going to go into a little bit more depth on this later on today. I have a theater session at Theater 2 at 5:05. So if you want to come check it out a little bit more, or you know, ask how you can adopt this and how you can make this make the best of this, please come see me later on today. That's it.
Thanks very much, Dan. I hope that gives you a good understanding of, excuse me, how you can use both Xamarin and Azure together. As a call to action, I'd highly recommend going to xamarin.com/Azure. We have some already hero demo samples out there. There's a Xamarin Health Clinic demo that you would have seen Scott Hanselman do earlier on in the Ignite conference. And also he did it at Connect last year in November, which we keep building on to show the power of how Azure can help build out a mobile application with Xamarin as the client development tooling. Just so you know, if you go to azure.com and sign up now, you'll actually be able to get a $200 credit for the month to allow you to try these things out. So in the instance of Todd's sample, he'd better click deploy and put that into your tenant and then open up the Visual Studio project and actually deploy and start playing with those things. And in the cases of being able to try and play with the Xamarin Test Cloud as well as part of that. There are a ton of Azure training resources available on azure.microsoft.com/community/training that I'd highly recommend you checking out. And we're currently working on a microsoftvirtualacademy.com series of courses that goes in a lot more detail, not only on mobile development on Azure, but also with web development and API development as well. There are a bunch of engineers that are available in the expo hall, both for Xamarin and also for Azure. If you have any more detailed questions, or if you're stuck on some code and you've got your laptop with you, they'll be more than happy to help you with that. Just want to say a big thank you to both Dan and Todd for jumping on stage and doing those demos for me today. So thank you again for that. And we'll be available for questions after the session if you have any. I would highly recommend getting to the Azure App Services session on Thursday, Dan's session's tonight in the theater. And there's one other one which is really cool that unfortunately you've missed because it's kind of overlapping right now, but you could sprint there, is the Azure Functions session. You get a lot more understanding of what Azure Functions can do for you in your organization, both from a mobile developer perspective, but also from a web developer perspective as well. So thanks very much for your time. I will leave the evaluation things up there. So if you have any feedback on this session or Ignite in general, please feel free to use the MS Ignite app. Please check out the MS Ignite bot as well if you haven't already. Go and attach that to your Skype, Slack, Facebook Messenger app in your phone. You'll be able to ask the bot questions around what kind of sessions are going on Ignite. And I find that a little bit easier than navigating the session catalog that's available as well. So thanks again for your time today and enjoy the rest of MS Ignite.